1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden's hour-long unscripted news conference at the end of the NATO summit, not likely to quell the element within the Democratic Party that wants him to abandon his re-election effort.
Many Democrats are telling me it was just not enough, that fair or unfair, the expectation, the need from him today was to be pitch perfect. And right off the bat, we saw him stumble. There were moments where he did seem to still sort of trail off, and other Democrats telling me they just didn't think it was enough to calm the fears from constituents and from voters that they have been hearing.
ABC Mary Alice Parks. From the Hawaiian island of Kauai, word that a tourist helicopter has crashed into the Pacific Ocean. One person killed, two are unaccounted for. In Nepal, three passengers were rescued after two buses with 66 people aboard were swept into a rain-bloated river by a landslide 75 miles west of Kathmandu. This is ABC News. Officials in Texas estimate it'll be next week before all of the half million or so homes and businesses that still don't have power after Hurricane Beryl get it back. Houstonian Tony Cisneros says daily updates from the utility aren't cutting it.
We look around the neighborhood. There's no utility trucks in the neighborhood. So not getting any warm fuzzies from reading these texts saying, oh, yeah, we're on it.
ABC's Alex Stone says federal investigators divulging a little more information about the 4th of July gunfight at Yellowstone.
28-year-old Samson Fussner worked in a dining hall at Yellowstone National Park. He held a woman at gunpoint and told her he was going to commit a mass shooting on the 4th of July. On the morning of Independence Day, park rangers tried to find him. Eventually, they got into a shootout with him, and he was shot and killed. The FBI is investigating. His motive for allegedly wanting to carry out a mass shooting is not clear. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Civic Media is reviewing procedures after an edited version of an interview between talk show host Earl Ingram and President Biden aired last week. CEO Sage Weil tells Todd Arbaugh the choice made in the moment won't happen again.
This was a first for us. This is our first presidential interview and the first time we've had these types of requests. And unfortunately, the judgment in the moment was not ideal. And so my job is to make sure that we prevent these types of mistakes going forward.
Ingram will stay on as host. Weil calls Ingram an invaluable voice for Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's Democratic Secretary of State is settling an open records lawsuit. Sarah Godlewski was appointed the same day Doug LaFollette resigned last year. Republicans are looking for evidence of a prior agreement. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Brewers lose to the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Pittsburgh Pirates today 1-0 at a matinee at American Family Field, 36,000 fans. Pittsburgh with one of the hottest young pitchers in baseball, Paul Skeens, just 22 years old, out of Fullerton, California, already headed to the All-Star game next week. That's Major League Baseball history. 1 year into the league, pitched a no-hitter through seven innings. Christian Yelich, headed to the All-Star game himself next week, went 0-4 today and talked about facing Paul Skeens.
Indians.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good pitcher. It's good stuff. He really did. He just did a good job pitching, honestly. Guys have velo in the major leagues, but, you know, just being able to pitch and kind of just throw anything at any time, it keeps you off balance. And, you know, I think we could have done a better job of getting him out of the game sooner. I think we let him off the hook with some at-bats there at the end where if we extended them, kind of realized what was happening, you know, we could have bought ourselves an extra inning or two.
It's the first series the Brewers have lost at home since April. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, a mostly clear sky, light winds, and look out for some patchy fog. Lower 60s expected by daybreak. For your Friday, after any fog, we'll see quite a bit of sunshine, highs in the low to mid 80s, and some storm chances developing in the afternoon. Right now, it's 67.
Crude and Dom.
Tune into the Devil's Advocates radio show. We will replay Joe Biden and Madison last Friday and the Earl Ingram interview. Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I am Jeff Smith. It is an honor to be with you. We're the smartest set of listeners and viewers and talk media. We appreciate you. We are joined now by the executive director of Fix the Court, Gabe Ross, who's going to give us a quick hit on, is there a solution to the current dilemma of the Supreme Court? My own view is that is a more important story than Joe Biden's age. I think it is the second most important story going on in the federal government, the first being the crime story that is Donald Trump, that has been too often portrayed as a political story. And to the extent it's a political story, the political story, my one disagreement really with the New York Times editorial, it still fixates just on Trump and not on the movement that has helped coddle and beget and defer to him and all of the Confederates, and that has to be dismantled and has to be understood better by major media, including all of us. That to me is the first type of first story. And the other big story that we're not spending nearly enough time on, and we should be getting even more calls about, is the current Supreme Court dilemma. And with us is the executive director of Fix the Court, Gabe Roth, who's going to ask us, is there a solution to the current Supreme Court dilemma, or maybe even answer that question? Gabe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Fix the Court. How are we going to do it?
Well, there's no one solution. There's no panacea. It's not like we're going to wake up in a world tomorrow and we're going to have justices that are more open to a certain vision of the Constitution that you or I or other people that you know might have. I think that changes to the court, I like to break them down into sort of two areas. One is the jurisprudence and the opinion-based changes to the court, and one is the structural or the reform and ethics-oriented changes to the court. So I think those are sort of two different things. I think they sometimes, there is a Venn diagram and sometimes they meet. On the jurisprudential level, you know, I think the most important thing, and it's very tired and boring to say, but the most important thing is to get out and vote, obviously, and vote for the individuals, both in for the president and for the Senate, who you want to be nominating and confirming the next round of judges and justices. You know, the 99% of federal court cases do not go to the Supreme Court, and whoever the next president is going to appoint 250 lower court judges, and there's only about 900 lower court judges, so that's a big chunk of it. And that's going to be determined by who wins the presidency in November and which party has the majority of the Senate in November. So I think that's the first thing.
Could we break that down a little bit? So you said, sure. You said there are 900 federal judges in the country, give or take.
Give or take. I mean, you know, if you include all the senior judges, which is like a sort of semi-retirement status, and then mm-hmm. bankruptcy judges and magistrate judges, you're really looking at like 2,300 judges. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the judges that are authorized under federal law, it's about 900 of them. And in the last few presidential cycles, we've seen a turnover of about 250 of them. Trump appointed about 250 in his 4 years. Biden has appointed about 205, 210 so far in his term.
Now, pause for a second. I want to keep digging on this.
Sure.
So the way I'm doing the arithmetic is it's roughly a quarter. I know it's 250 is not exactly a quarter, number, but I'm just calling it a quarter. And does that tend to be a one quarter per president or one quarter per 4 years, per term?
For 4 years.
Got it.
You know, I think in the second term of a presidency, you're probably not going to have as many. And it also sort of depends on who's running the Senate, right? During the entire time of Joe Biden's presidency, he had a Democratic Senate. During the entire time of Donald Trump's presidency, he had a Republican Senate. So that made it a lot easier, obviously, for him to get, for each of those two presidents to get their lower court judge picks through and to get their Supreme Court justices through.
Yep.
The opposite happened during Barack Obama's presidency. The last 2 years of his 8-year term, he had a Republican-led Senate, and he barely got any judges through during those last 2 years, including not getting his pick for replacement of Antonin Scalia, which was then-Judge Merrick Garland. So a lot depends on who win, you know, as we're all...
Understood.
Yeah, so everyone's talking about the age of the president and who's going to win, but obviously who wins the Senate is critically important to ensuring that, you know, your party's views imbued through the...
I want to stick with the numbers. Help me keep playing the numbers game for a little bit. I know it's weird to talk about numbers in the Supreme Court, but ultimately there are. Ultimately, I think one of the mistakes that we've made as court watchers is read too many words and do too little counting. That 6-3 is vastly more important, and in an old world, 5-4 was vastly more important than any brief, any amici brief that ever, or amicus brief that ever got written.
Yes.
And so I want to dwell on the numbers a little bit. So you just told me, therefore, there's turnover of most of those. I'm gonna play this a little bit. There's turnover of most of those then in every 16 years, there's turnover of most of the federal judiciary. What is the average, and maybe even, you know, a degree beyond that, standard deviation beyond that of sort of a typical term of a Supreme Court justice? How long do they usually last? I'm sort of embarrassed I don't already know that.
Yeah, so for the first 200 years of the Republic, the average tenure of a Supreme Court justice was 16.9 years. Since 1970, the justices who have left the court, they've served an average of 28 years. So that's almost double the tenure length. Thinking of justices who have retired recently or left the court recently, Rehnquist was there for 33 years, Stevens was there for 35 years, Scalia was there for 29 years, Ginsburg and Breyer were there for about 27 years each, Kennedy was there for about 30 years. So you have justices that are serving way longer than you should. And I mean, you know, fix the court's number, I think two fix in our list, is ending life tenure for future Supreme Court justices. We believe justices should only serve for 18 years and not for seemingly double that, which is more and more becoming the norm, especially with presidents incentivized to appoint justices who are, you know, not even in their 50s yet, right? Justice Barrett was in her 40s when she was appointed. And she's in great health, so she could serve until she's 90. That would be that wouldn't be unreasonable. But it should not be legal. It should not be allowed. Justices should only have a fixed term, and once they're done with their 18 years, they can serve on lower federal courts as most retired Supreme Court justices do. Justice Breyer is 2 months away from starting to hear cases in the First Circuit Court of Appeals based in Boston. So, you know, to me, it's very sort of a, you know, not...
Wait, did
not,
you say, not, you say, did you say, did you say Justice Breyer is hearing cases?
He will be, yes. He will, retired Justice Breyer will be hearing cases in Boston come September. Retired Justice David Souter heard cases also in Boston, it turns out, in the First Circuit Court of Appeals for about a decade after he retired. Justice O'Connor famously sat in all 13, I think, courts of appeals after she retired. She retired in 06, but was hearing cases up until about 5 years ago. So, you know, that's something that Congress passed a law in 1937 to change it so justices could do it. And most of the justices who have not died in office since 1937 have chosen to sit on lower courts. So justices under Fix the Court's vision have life tenure on the federal courts, but only 18 years of that should be served on the Supreme Court.
So I'm recognizing whatever question I ask, you're going to make sure you want to. You're going to want to make sure you say the most important thing you want to say. In addition, and I agree with you, by the way, that maintaining Article III lifetime appointment for judges, but Supreme Court justices could only serve on the Supreme Court for something closer to the average over the life of the country, rather than the average over since people started gaming the numbers and trying to appoint. Pretty soon, we're going to be trying to appoint Bronny James to the Supreme Court because he's like young enough to be there forever. Any other key proposal you want to make sure you get out?
Yeah, sure. So Fix the Court supports enforceable ethics rules at the Supreme Court. So that means the ability to file a complaint against a justice, that complaint to be reviewed by either a subset of the justices, a subset of retired justices, or a subset of lower federal court judges who are the chief judges of their lower courts. And having fact-finding and investigations of judicial behavior, both on and off the bench, that does not comport with basic understandings of modern ethics. There is an ethics code at the Supreme Court as of November 13th of last year. That was kind of crazy that the Supreme Court was the only court in the country that didn't have a formal ethics code for like 50 years. Well, I never had an ethics code.
We're going to break, Gabe. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be right back after this, the Tom Hartman Show. Hey, Tom Hartman here. Why sign up for my program's free daily newsletter over at tom.tv? Well, every morning you receive an email with a complete list of the topics we'll be covering on our weekday program.
You want to go back
after
over
the show
that?
Show's over. Every afternoon, you'll get what I call Sue's Daily Stack.
It gives you hot links
to every single story and information source that we talked about during the show. Plus, every day while the show is live,
Supreme
you can
Court
watch
justices
it at
and lower court judges
without
follow the same
that podcast
gift,
and show, a
travel,
library
reimbursement,
of every subject discussed on previous shows,
that members
a place
of Congress
to view it live.
Follow.
It's all
so
at tom.tv.
That's things like not being
so
able
why
to
sign up to
get value
all this
more
at no cost?
Than $50.
Because we want you to join us
to list how much money outside
bad.
Groups are spending
despair
on your transportation,
option.
Food,
sign
and
up
lodging
now
when you attend
tom.tv.
A junket.
That's
these are things that members of Congress have had to do for years and in some
all
cases
the ammunition
decades.
You need to win the water cooler
Supreme
wars.
Court are either exempt completely or there are so many loopholes, for example, in the gifts bill.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. It's been a while since I was out of work, but I remember that grind of looking and looking and that occasional suffocating feeling of anxiety like it was yesterday. If that's where you're at, and you don't mind if I encourage you to try something, because I am sure you're pretty tired of hearing people say, have you tried to do ba-da-da, or have you thought about ga-ga-ga? I'd like to recommend a project. Make a budget. Pulling together a monthly budget can help reduce your money stress, even if it doesn't make money magically appear. Knowing what you have to spend and where you want to trim is better than just closing your eyes and letting those bills pile up. And taking charge of your current financial situation, that can be an important contribution to your mental health as well as your and your family's well-being. You can get started today. I've got a video about how to make a budget on Work Money's YouTube channel. All the resources at workmoney.org are free to anyone looking for help spending less and saving more. And hey, if you're between jobs, keep your chin up. You got this.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
We're on with Gabe Roth of Fix the Court. Proposals of how do we have enforceable ethics rules in the Supreme Court, how do we make sure they're subject to the same rules as members of Congress to make sure they're not accepting such large largesse and getting their whole family's college educations paid for at the risk of it seeming like maybe there's something in exchange for that. And then also, how do we make sure that we don't just have perpetually elected kings, queens, and a court that lasts forever, that used to be 16.9 years for the first 200 years of the country, and lately it's gone up to 28 years, and it seems like that's going to keep on getting longer as everybody tries to get, oh, I'm going to find this magic genie's lamp and wish for forever justices, and then we'll move the average up rather than down. It ain't going to move down unless something moves it down. It means it becomes more of a lagging indicator. It means the court becomes less and less in touch with what's actually happening in the, not only in jurisprudence, but what's happening in the world. All of that is heard, appreciated, and agreed with. Question I have for you, Gabe, Mr. Roth, if I can call you that, how do you get that done?
So it's not easy. I will acknowledge that. You know, my strategy is to find points of agreement where I can between Republicans and Democrats. And I'll give a couple of examples. One, when the Wall Street Journal 3 years ago came out with a report that showed 131 federal judges participated in almost 700 cases, despite the fact that they had a financial interest in one of the parties in those 700 cases. We were able to very quickly actually pass legislation, and it was because it was Republican-appointed justices and Democratic-appointed justices were equally likely to be among the 131. You know, we were able to pass legislation led by Senator Cornyn and Senator Coons in the Senate, and Congressman Issa and Congressman Johnson in the House, you know, one of each, a Democrat, Republican from each House. And that was signed into law. I think the article came out in late September 2021, and that President Biden signed that into law the following spring. So it happened pretty quickly.
How did you get into this mess? I'm realizing I should know this already, but how did you become the most hated man of Article 3, perpetually like life tenured powerful people, and you ask them what fishing trips they go on? How did you end up doing this?
By sort of coincidence. My background's actually not in the law, it's in broadcast journalism. Didn't love doing that because local news was, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And I got, within a year, I got pretty downhearted about it. So was always interested in politics, moved to DC, had a lot of different clients doing political consulting that had cases in the federal court. So it was same-sex marriage plaintiffs, voting rights plaintiffs, and they were in Maine or Texas or California. They're like, oh, we'll just watch our cases on television. And I'm like, that's not how it works. There is no C-SPAN 4. There is no C-SPAN for the judiciary. So I started pushing. I had a cross-partisan coalition that I started to try to get cameras in the Supreme Court, but then quickly realized that it wasn't just this cameras issue that made the Supreme Court so powerful and so unaccountable. It was their life tenure, their lack of ethics code and enforcement mechanisms, their out-of-date recusal and financial disclosure rules. And so it sort of spun out, having this coalition for court transparency and to fix the court, which is more sort of a broad spectrum of solutions as opposed to just focusing on the broadcast issue. So that was 10 years ago.
And fascinating.
Yeah.
So on the cameras in the court, you answered my question, which is how do you feel about cameras in the court? And you came out and said you were pushing on them 10 years ago, 8 years ago. who has to make that decision? It seems to me there could be two things done. You tell me. One, the court could just decide to do it. Second, Congress could make them. And I know why the court doesn't want it. Why doesn't the court want to make them? Because they don't. Or excuse me. Why does Congress not want to make them? It's because they think because the court says we don't want it and they don't want to offend them.
Basically, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that the two strongest advocates for cameras in the courtroom are individuals who have been in Congress a combined 70 years. So, you know, I think they're going to unfortunately defer to the judiciary. And even though, you know, Chuck Grassley and Dick Durbin want cameras in the court, if John Roberts says no, then they're just going to say, okay, and they're not going to use the fact that they are two of the most powerful 100 senators to push that bill. They've had a Cameras in the Court Act introduced every odd numbered year for 15 years now. They're not going to push it any further. You know, what I'm working for, actually, I was working on this today with a few Democratic members, is just to get the court to agree to make live audio permanent. Currently, the live audio stream that we get of just their oral arguments, not the opinion announcements that just came out last month, but just the oral arguments, is sort of renewed on a yearly basis. But what I'm working with now is to ensure that the court at least agrees to make that permanent.
By renewed, you mean deleted?
Well, no. I mean, each year the justices have to decide, okay, are we going to live stream the audio?
Oh, I see.
As far as I know. I mean, one source told me that it was permanent, another source told me it wasn't. So, I'm sort of in between two places here. But the members are like, okay, A, the oral arguments, the 60 cases that the justices hear each year, the audio of that should be live streamed and that should be made permanent, number one. Number two, critically, of late, there have been a lot of very strident dissents read from the bench by the liberal members against what the conservative supermajority has been doing. And that audio is only available to the people in the courtroom as it happens. It yeah. doesn't come out the next day, the next week. It only comes out the next session. So if I wanted to hear Justice it was Sotomayor or Kagan read her dissent in Trump v. U.S., I'm not going to be able to hear her words until October, which by that point, it's sort of lost much of its news value. The opinion announcements should also be live streamed, because when a justice reads a dissent from a bench, it means they are very pissed. And it is important. It is a critical news event when a justice reads a dissent from the bench. And the fact that we don't have the audio for that is kind of ridiculous.
So I get it. So my one tactical strategic note, I do wonder, and then we're gonna bid adieu and say thank you, but it sounds like they're building a stronger movement around this, not only within the halls of Congress and the halls of courts, but within the legal profession and even within state legislatures and state courts. So just transparency for courts being more, I mean, that's the kind of thing the progressive movement 115 years ago would take up and say, yes, we need an accountable, fixed, and by that I don't mean rigged, I mean cured court system. Where can people learn more, Gabe?
FixTheCourt.com. Sign up right at the top of the page, and you know, we're at Fix the Court on Facebook, Twitter, etc. Or if you're interested, email us info@FixTheCourt.com. We always respond within a day.
Gabe, you're doing the Lord's work. Appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Speed round, a big finish coming up. 202-808-9925.
Did you know your dog's food could be harming them? Dr. Marty says there's one major red flag to look out for: cooked dog food, like kibble or canned food. When dog food is cooked at high temperatures, the amino acids often overheat, and that can create dangerous compounds called AGEs, or advanced glycation end products. AGEs can cause dangerous buildup in your dog's system and make them act slower or older than they are. High amounts may even be connected to cancer. It's tricky because even healthy and organic dog food is often cooked at high temperatures. That's why Dr. Marty created his own formula called Nature's Blend. It's freeze-dried raw, so you don't need to worry about potential AGEs from kibble. It's shelf-stable and mess-free. It's full of nutrients. Our dogs Blue and Chewy absolutely love it. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Krispies. Our dogs can't get enough of these wild-caught codskin treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/THOM or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden's hour-long unscripted news conference at the end of the NATO summit, not likely to quell the element within the Democratic Party that wants him to abandon his re-election effort.
Many Democrats are telling me it was just not enough, that fair or unfair, the expectation, the need from him today was to be pitch perfect. And right off the bat, we saw him stumble. There were moments where he did seem to still sort of trail off, and other Democrats telling me they just didn't think it was enough to calm the fears from constituents and from voters that they have been hearing.
ABC Mary Alice Parks. From the Hawaiian island of Kauai, word that a tourist helicopter has crashed into the Pacific Ocean. One person killed, two are unaccounted for. In Nepal, three passengers were rescued after two buses with 66 people aboard were swept into a rain-bloated river by a landslide 75 miles west of Kathmandu. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The family of a black man killed during a struggle with security guards in Milwaukee last month say they don't want his case forgotten. Milwaukee is gearing up for next week's Republican National Convention. Devontae Mitchell's family says they saw security video of guards punching and kicking him, and he was not armed. It's not clear why Mitchell was at the hotel or why the confrontation started. Donald Trump has a 9-point lead among voters age 50 and older in Wisconsin. That's from a new poll from the AARP. Pollster Bob Ward says older voters are worried about Social Security and unhappy about the economy.
The debate had its impact on this race, but I think the fundamentals of this race is that people are really feeling an economic pinch.
Ward says older voters appear more motivated than usual. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
This weather update is brought to you by your boat club, Oshkosh's premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. When you're serious about fun, shop your boat club located at 1232 North Sawyer Street.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Pat Sajak took his fortune and left the wheel. Vanna White stayed on to assist new host Ryan Seacrest, but there are rumors they aren't getting along. Is it true? Probably. Because White and Seacrest are working overtime doing things like eating dumpling soup in a restaurant together and posing for a canned photo for social media. White is under contract through 2026, but sources say she wants out sooner because she says, quote, "It is just too difficult to do this without Pat," end quote. Turn the letters? There is not good news on the horizon for Kevin Costner. His new Chapter 2 project, Horizon, an American Saga, did not perform well at the box office, or necessarily with critics. As a result, New Line Cinema and Territory Pictures have announced that Chapter 2 will not premiere in theaters as it was scheduled to do on August 16th. Instead, studios say the film can be ordered on demand July 16th and will drop on Max in the near future. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price in the overnight a mostly clear sky, light winds, and look out for some patchy fog. Lower 60s expected by daybreak. For your Friday, after any fog, we'll see quite a bit of sunshine, highs in the low to mid 80s, and some storm chances developing in the afternoon. It's 66 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
it. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
you are one master whacker. I'll tell you
thanks.
That.
That's, wow. That's unbelievable. Really impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Join me Friday. My good friend Sandy Williams will be here to close out the week. We'll continue our deep dive on Project 2025 and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Politics. So this call is all about what I call the oligarch media. And the New York Times has a hidden agenda, in my opinion, that nobody is talking about. And that is that this kerfuffle about Biden has taken Gaza off the front page. Now, we know enough about the mainstream or what other people call mainstream media, but I call oligarch media, that Israel AIPAC, the Zionists, there's a whole bunch of push and tug and pressures and whatever it might be that the influences that they have on it. So I would like to give you a little bit of background that I've covered
We're in speed round, Robin, because we're near the end of the show. We've got a bunch of people who are going to try to get to before we wrap it. So what's the key piece that you think, you said you wanted to push back, that you think the New York Times got it wrong in their Trump editorial, or you think that there's something deeper going on that's more important?
Deeper that's going on that's more important, because Randy said what needed to be said, that Biden's a good president and we should keep going on. And the background in the situation is that Gaza is off the front page while the oligarch media are whipping us into a frenzy about all of this stuff. So that's the basic thing, and you may want to take a look.
I hear your point, and I understand your passion on the issue, and you're helping keeping it alive, so appreciate your call. CW from Elko, North Carolina, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff, I hope you can grant me some license here. I know it's speed round, but I think Biden's problem is most people don't think he has the grit in his scap anymore. So what he needs to do, I hope his advisors are listening, he needs to fire Garland yesterday. I've learned that Republicans never do really shed their fetid skin. And pardon me, then appoint Jack Smith acting attorney general. And then with all the evidence that Jack Smith must have, he needs to start indicting people like Turbefield, Josh Hawley, and the rest of the married Republicans that all committed treason, obviously.
Yep.
And then he needs to go to Trump and charge Trump with wire fraud for his obvious atrocities in selling something for $5 and charging people's credit cards $80, and then also the New York Times. Let me address that.
Well, hold on. Give it another 10 seconds. I want to get to the next caller.
Okay, I thought they were trying out for Providence role, but maybe they kind of changed their tune. Thank you, dude. I appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, CW. You said two things that I thought were really important. One is the idea of Biden doing something bold, to demonstrate his presidential leadership by showing presidential leadership. That's interesting. And the second is having a little more feisty attorney general's office. Sarah Kendzior agrees with you. She thinks that we have people who are so interested in being urbane in a department, not recognizing that what we need is Nazi fighters, and I think she shows some wisdom. Linda, you're on the air from Everett, Washington.
Hi. Biden is the one, because you can't change a horse in the third quarter of a race. He's done the OPEC deal, so he is listening to great advisors. Kamala Harris is already in place. I just don't want to hear from you guys, because the mainstream already is all about old is talk about his achievements and what he's going to do and getting rid of the corruption within both parties. He listens to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah,
He's a great president, and he surprises me.
I appreciate the call, Linda. And one of those really salient points that we've got to keep hitting is that we fetishize, and we lionize or vilify the seat in the White House, and it matters. It matters a lot. But recognize we also elect administrations, and we got to keep that in mind. Nancy from Oaklawn, Illinois, you're on speed round.
Wow, I thought you were coming back to me after the news.
Sorry about that.
I've been on hold since the beginning of the show. Anyway.
If you complain, they'll remember. I'm just saying, Nancy, if you complain, they'll remember. But go on. You're on the air now.
Okay. Here's the problem with our government. It's a two-party system. The Democrats, when they do finally get a win thrown right in their laps, they end up screwing it up anyway. They're very good at that. I'm tired of not being represented. I'm tired of only being given, two choices. And they are reactive. This government is reactive, not proactive. I have been voting for over 50 years now. I'm old enough to be your mom. I was told in the beginning when I first started voting, we've got to get money out of politics. We've got to, the filibuster has to be gone. Electoral college has to be gone. The not-so-Supreme Court has to be expanded, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? Now that I'm voting now, this year, guess what they're telling me I have to change or I have to fight to change? The same exact thing.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. From our founding fathers did not compromise, they conceded. Abraham Lincoln's administration did not compromise, they conceded. We conceded when Nixon broke the law, and if they would have prosecuted him, we would have never had a ray gun getting in illegally. We would have never had the two Bushes,
yeah.
And we certainly wouldn't have ended up with this felon that's trying to get it. And that the fact that they don't have the brains to fight back, instead of talking about Biden's age, to fight back and tell them, do you want a criminal in the White House? He should have never been in there in the first place if the Democrats knew how to fight. And we have Kamala Harris in our administration now. All you have to do, because this country is still so prejudiced, so misogynist, so racist, she would never get in on her own. We are only going to get a woman president by just the way the situation is right now. By the president,
so you're moving on to another point, which is also
and then stepping down and letting the woman in.
All right, is that the last point? Is that the fundamental point you want to make?
Yes. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, Nancy. First of all, I want to say thank you, not just for your call, but for being at it for a long time. You said 50 years, and you're absolutely right. Like, and if you look at the progressive platform from the turn of the last century. Right, the thing that ended up begetting elements of Teddy Roosevelt and elements of Woodrow Wilson's platforms. Like, a lot of that stuff didn't happen until the New Deal. Some of it, if you read it now, you'd still think we need to do it. Right? It requires eternal vigilance, and we're not going to get it done in my lifetime. Some of it we will. And another problem, making it worse, is that most things, in terms of democracy, in terms of wealth disparities, in terms of climate, we've made a lot of advances in terms of recognizing fundamental equality among people. Lots of advances, not enough, but lots. But in terms of some of the fundamental stuff about wealth disparities, about the functioning of democracy, we've had backsliding for the last 40 years. We've been moving to the right with huge investments. I want to say more about that, but I want to make sure we can get to the calls. We're going to have to keep at it. Let me go to Linda from Houston. You're on the air.
Yes, I am. You know, I'm thinking about Biden. We know Biden for 12 years in the executive office, 8 years under Obama, 4 years present in his current position, and they want to bring somebody in that has, we don't know anything about, 4 years. They're going after a few undecided voters, and they're going to lose a populace of people Biden and want Biden and would rather vote for RK Jr. because he would be a lot better than Trump. And with this other person, we don't know. It could be a cinnamon or a mansion. Somebody who's pretending to be a Republican. I'm not going to go for it.
Well, I appreciate the call, Linda. I appreciate it. And you're right, because to me, the question is not, is he great debater or whatever, but is he the same man he's been for the last 12 years? Is he the same man? And I don't mean is he slowed down a little bit. That's not what I mean. But is he able to make the same decisions? Is he able to accomplish? Is he able to demonstrate the same judgment as he had for the last 4 years, 3.5 years, the last 11.5 years? I think that's a legitimate question. And so far, so much of like George Clooney's critique is whether or not he's performing at the level of a Hollywood actor. Of course he's not. But we don't need that. What we need is a president. Can he still do that? And Linda, I appreciate your call. Speaking of George Clooney, I think Gene has something to say about that from San Ramon, California.
Yeah, actually, I'm from Truckee, California.
All right.
I think that Kamala's, people thinking that she can't win. If she picked George Clooney as her VP, Trump would die. He would know that that ticket.
You think Clooney's the key, huh? They just Ocean's 16, Ocean's 24, and that'll be the magic.
No, nothing because of that. It's just because we need, you know, somebody outside of politics on the male side, and let's fight Trump with another celebrity. George Clooney, if he doesn't want to do it, he can be, once they win, he could, quit at some point.
Just be a vice president. Just play the role. He would just play the role of vice president for as long as he'd be on a movie.
I'm not sure he would.
And then he'd move on.
I'm not sure he would.
I appreciate it. All right, Clooney, it's time to put up or shut up, Clooney, if that is your real name.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
This is Tom Hartman. Continue the speed round, and then the big, big finish, 202-808-9925. I think we got one line open.
Did you know your dog's food could be harming them? Dr. Marty says there's one major red flag to look out for: cooked dog food, like kibble or canned food. When dog food is cooked at high temperatures, the amino acids often overheat, and that can create dangerous compounds called AGEs, or advanced glycation end products. AGEs can cause dangerous buildup in your dog's system and make them act slower or older than they are. High amounts may even be connected to cancer. It's tricky because even healthy and organic dog food is often cooked at high temperatures. That's why Dr. Marty created his own formula called Nature's Blend. It's freeze-dried raw, so you don't need to worry about potential AGEs from kibble. It's shelf-stable and mess-free. It's full of nutrients. Our dogs Blue and Chewy absolutely love it. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Krispies. Our dogs can't get enough of these wild-caught codskin treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/THOM or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica or one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio, and tag your it.
For all the calls for George Clooney being the vice president, I have to call out the blatant sexism that not a single person has called for Meryl Streep. Now, I understand Olivia Colman, I don't think it might not be eligible. She's fantastic, but she might not be eligible. But Meryl Streep is absolutely eligible, and she's every bit, in fact, I would say a superior actor to George Clooney. And how is she not qualified? Imagine her in a debate, holy mackerel. She would be fantastic. We'd be weeping. We'd be cheering. In fact, nobody's even mentioned her. I question each of you. I don't really. You're all wonderful. All right, let's go to Ron from Berrien Springs, Michigan. Go ahead. You're anti-Biden.
No, I'm not anti-Biden.
Okay.
I'm for Joe Biden if he's our candidate.
Okay.
Any Democrat that runs is my candidate. But Tom Hartman was right. Joe Biden must resign,
okay,
or else we're going to lose this election. And I'm going to tell you, if you think, I mean, you're laughing and joking about this, but when Trump wins, those show trials are not going to be a joke. And the first person that's going to go on show trial.
I'm going to interrupt you. If you think for a moment that I sit in this chair because I think this is a joke, yeah, I try to find some levity in it, but if you don't think I take it more serious than any listener, I don't think you've been paying attention, man. I care about this deeply. I've spent a good portion of my life trying to register young voters, trying to build a progressive movement so that we can have a democracy. I care about it. I would take a bullet in the face in this day. At this very moment, I would take a bullet to the face if I thought it would save the country and stop the next president. If Donald Trump is the next president, I would take a bullet to the face and stop him. So I would take it more seriously than a caller on the air, but I'll give you the last word.
Yes, and if you think those show trials are a joke, the first person to go,
show trials? What did I say show trials were a joke, Ron?
I'm saying that.
All right.
I didn't say you said that.
Go ahead. I said you think.
You just want to go down my throat.
You said if you think. Go ahead, Ron, please.
The only person who can win this election in a landslide is Michelle Obama, because her husband will be the first one put on show trial when Trump wins. And if you think that's a joke, it's the real deal. And we must have a landslide, and even with a landslide, we're going to have to fight to get that vote through the courts and through the right-wing fascists.
Yeah.
And you know it, and I know it.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
And by the way, I'd be proud to vote for Michelle Obama. I think a lot of people in the country would. She's not a candidate, and she didn't like politics enough, and I think she'd rather make movies with her husband. And at this point, I think she thinks she paid at the office, and I can't speak for her. If I saw the poll that said 60%+ would vote for her, I think she'd be hard to beat. I think she would have been hard to beat if she ran before. Ultimately, what I will end up doing is voting for the candidate that's on the ballot. That's what I'm going to end up doing, and listening to you good people. Christine from Petaluma, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, thank you. This is in regard to Biden leaving and putting somebody else up there. You know, there's an old adage that is divide and conquer, and I think that might be part of the Trump strategy.
Absolutely.
Because here we hear this verbiage about, oh, it's going to be a landslide, we're going to win, this is you know who. And I think that if we were to remove President Biden, it would be like a house of cards with everybody scrambling. Yes, he's old, but he has the wisdom. He's been one of the best presidents we've ever had. No candidate is ever going to be my favorite. But listen, if he could talk as blustery as Trump in using his eloquent language with the force of voice behind it, nobody would be saying this stuff. And as far as George Clooney goes, I'm ashamed of George Clooney because he has a position that should be more prudent. Yeah. And the media is talking about Biden should leave. Everybody's talking about Biden should leave. This is going into the ears of a lot of people. A lot of people.
We got 2 minutes, so I need you to finish up.
So I think he should stay in. I think he's got a staff around him. I think we're not looking for actors. We're looking for a party. And if you don't vote Democratic, if you don't vote the Biden ticket or whoever is there, it's going to be tyranny.
Christine, thank you so much for the call. Brenda, you got about 20 seconds.
Me? Am I on now?
Yeah.
Hello?
You're on.
Okay. Biden should stay in. And the last call was, I'm just going to make it short, Biden should stay in. If he doesn't stay in, you're going to lose the race. You're going to lose the race. And the press is the one, if he loses the race, it's going to fall because of the New York Times, the radio shows. Many of the radio shows continue to hassle him and say Biden should leave out. If he loses, it's going to be you guys, the press, and it's going to be the four or the nine people that didn't stand for Biden.
Yep, I hear you, Brenda.
It's just disgusting.
He should
stay in the race. If the house of cards are going to fall if he gets out.
I got to go to Larry. Thank you.
Biden.
Thank you, Brenda, so much for your call. Larry from Long Island, you got about 10 seconds.
I just want to say the same thing. I'm very ashamed of what George Clooney did. I think it's terrible, and I think that we all need to stick behind one person. If you like Biden and you want Harris, because she is the next one in line, you're voting for both of them. She will be the candidate if he can't make it.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. You're voting for Harris, too. And Harris can bring on great candidates in our stable of Democrats.
Thank you,
as a vice president.
Jeff, you got to be the last call if you got 10 seconds. Jeff? All right. What I want to do is say thank you. I have one more day with you. It's tomorrow. And I sensed something, and I didn't figure it out because I was fired up at the beginning of the show. We've got angst as a community. We've got angst. And part of that angst, and we add to it, and I think we need to, right? When I talk about the second coming type, when I talk about how we opened the show with how the New York Times did something unprecedented. Not a single caller called in and said they'd ever seen anything that was precedented. We've never seen this threat to democracy, at least in my lifetime. And it causes us fear. And we can disagree. We can disagree without being disagreeable. We can have moments of lightness while still taking it really, really seriously. And I just want to say thanks to all of you. Priceless. Definition priceless. Worth a lot. Not for sale.
Audio and video archives. Visit TomHartmann.com.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Mark Houston will join us from Bellin Sports Medicine for his weekly segment.
Then we feature the music of the Chocolatiers in our live music segment, brought to you by Heights Pub and Parlor.
Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Hey, it's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report, heard weekday mornings at 5 right here on WISS. If you like food, if you like farmers, tune in and learn. 5 a.m. on Air Support 93.3 FM and 1100 a.m. Oshkosh.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.